When you're talking about blackness, it's subjective as well. Everyone has their own definition of what blackness is for one. You know the people that you're talking to, you know the environment you're in, and you know how to present yourself. So it's not a case of saying, well, I'm presenting myself as a black man or not. It's I'm just presenting myself as the expert, as a professional, as someone that you can trust.
This is Talking to My Thoughts.
Welcome to Talking to My Thoughts, the podcast where we have open, honest, and raw conversations about the things that are playing on our minds. My name is Simon, aka SJ. I'm a video creative, I'm a father, I'm a business enthusiast.
And my name is Craig, also known as Mr. Positive. I am a cheesy motivator with a St. Lucian background, positive mindset, and a passion for helping others find and maintain their peace.
Yes, and we are obviously thankful to be joined by our guest today. If you introduce yourself, Jordan.
Awesome. So my name is Jordan Harry, and I transform the way people learn because I'm a speed reading and memory coach, aka a geek by accident. And I'm excited to be here today to talk about why being different in my industry has made me win.
So obviously in this podcast, we bring a unique perspective on our inner thoughts by literally playing and pre-recording the things that are on our mind before talking about them amongst the group. So we do this because we believe that before you can be open with others, you first have to be open with yourself. And obviously the topics in that can range from anything with love, money, family, work, our emotions, absolutely anything that would drive us to become the people that we are today. So you already know that the possibilities are endless. Make sure you guys stay up to date and follow us on all of our socials at Talking to My Thoughts. So guys, today the topic is black men at work. And do I need to suppress my blackness in order to succeed? Ooh, it's a bit mad still. It's weird. So I tried to actually Google this when I was looking at, okay, blackness and what is how is that defined? Now, when I looked on the internet, it said blackness is defined as the quality or state of being a black person. Now, Jordan, when we start off the conversation, we like to do a bit of a word association just to kind of open up the discussion straight away. Now, when you think about blackness, in as few words as possible, if you can, what does that mean to you?
For me, it is, I would say, standing out, not always for the right reasons. And that isn't always on ourselves. I'll leave it as that. And then we can explore that in a bit. So standing out, not always for the right reasons.
Cool. Craig, what are your thoughts?
For me, it means culture and personality. That's my two main things.
Okay. Blackness to me, I guess it is it's defined as a culture as well. So I definitely agree with you, Craig. It is defined as a culture because in many ways you can think about, okay, people who act black but don't necessarily look black because they embrace the culture. So I think that blackness for me is more of a cultural thing. We'll see how that conversation goes a little bit further. But so before we get into that, we'll play a voice recording. So I'll play my voice recording first. We'll have a listen, have some deep thought about it, and then we'll jump into the conversation.
So, as a black man, do I suppress my blackness at work? And do I need to suppress my blackness in order to succeed? That's tricky. I mean, obviously, it can only be personalized to me and my thoughts, but it can be controversial at the same time because you're considering, for one, what is the measurement of success? And for two, what does blackness even mean? What is that? How do you define blackness? Is it culture? Like, is it mannerisms? Is it, what is blackness? And that's a deeper question, trying to figure out what that is and what it means to you. And for me, it's, I would question whether I suppress anything, particularly at work. I always try and be myself in any circumstance, but at the same time with work, you always have to reflect yourself in the best possible light and be as professional as possible. So I would say that I don't suppress anything, but I am conscious of how I reflect myself as a professional, as an expert. So that's not necessarily about suppressing my blackness, that's just not being as forefront as I normally would do amongst friends or family, because it's a different circumstance and it's a different environment. To succeed is difficult, because in my head I question and I think to myself, okay, well, what can I compare it to? Like, where do I see success in a way where someone, a black entrepreneur, someone that's successful, have they ever reflected themselves in a way where I didn't think they was being fully black? I don't know, it's a weird question. And it's definitely something to think about. And I mean, it's interesting because, again, if you think about it, when you're at work and you're in the workplace, and say, for example, you're in a boardroom meeting, you're suited and booted, do you go there with your afro or your cane rows or, I don't know, dreadlocks? And then do you, I don't know, when there's like an office party, do you suggest playing like reggae music or dancehall music or, you know, soca music? And when you're at lunch with your colleagues, do you always have your rice and peas and your jerk chicken? Or, you know, do you have, it's, I don't know, I, to be fair, I wouldn't suppress that in any way. For me, it's a part of me, and I'll always try and reflect who I am. It's about your character, and as long as this is not done in a way which is offensive, then I would question why you would want to suppress it. Yeah, and that's just me. I think that it's important to be yourself at all times. And I'm quite fortunate because of the kind of industry and the place that I work in is quite creative. So it's a little bit more accepting to express yourself and express yourself in any which way you can. So I'm quite fortunate in that, but it would be interesting to think about how I would be, whether if my circumstances in the workplace was different, and how I would be perceived by other people. Would I then decide not to act a certain way or not to do certain things? I'm not sure. But to be successful, I do think that you need to be yourself, because people will see through it. So I think if it's a case of, can we be successful without suppressing ourselves as black people, I think we can. Yeah, I think we can.
Wait, I wish I went first and set the bar low.
No way.
God damn. Mr. Charles, killing that.
Yeah. There's a few things I picked up from there, which is, so let me pick up some of the key parts to it, to be honest with you. What does blackness and success even look like? I was thinking myself, and I have not actually seen a company which is actually black owned and run in a massive office structure, in a sense. Because obviously for me, I came from an industry which was based around finance and agency work. And I've never seen an office or even any of the offices I've had to go to, which was actually run by black people. Mm. So I can't even tell, does it exist? Is it something that is, not that if it's possible, anything's possible, but does it actually exist? And when it does exist, would it look different, or would it actually end up adopting the same office culture we already have? What about you, Simon? That's something that you picked up.
Well,
have you seen it?
100%. I definitely questioned that myself. When you said that, Craig, when you was actually saying that, okay, I can't think of a business that's black owned, that's run as black culture, it made me question, maybe that's why maybe that's why we tend to suppress ourselves, because we don't see it reflected in the world. Because we don't see a business, or we don't see success on that scale where someone can be their true selves and can be fully black. And this is, you know, like when you saw Soul Plane. Who saw Soul Plane, yeah? Where you just saw the black airline. You need to see Jordan, you're missing out. Kevin Hart, you need to see it. But when you see something like that, okay, that's a black airline. It's run in a black way. That makes you think, well, I don't need to do it the way I always see it, because now I can see the way that it can be done as well. There's another option out there. And I think when you said, okay, there isn't anything you can think of, that then makes me question, okay, maybe that's why we do potentially suppress our blackness, because we think that that is the only way we can succeed, because success, we haven't seen that success in any other way.
I mean, of course, you dropped a lot of gems, you know, a lot of things that a lot of people will be able to relate to. The one which I think only a small group of people will be able to relate to are the business owners listening or aspiring business owners, entrepreneurs. As someone who runs his own business, who has no rules, because real talk, I can wear what I want, I can talk how I want, I can have whatever banter I like or culture I like. However, as much as I am the boss, I also have a client. And so I would be lying if I said that in all my meetings, in all my workshops, that I was my unapologetic self. We all have to be chameleons, because you're right. You can't enter every social interaction the same way. People buy people. And the fastest way to build relationships is by finding commonality. So, you know, whether that is the fact that black people, people of color, do a simple head nod on the street. They don't even have to know each other. Everyone knows the head nod, right? Because guess what? We already have something in common. We were born with it. But then it's a lot harder to build relationships with people who aren't of color, because we've got to start a conversation. We've got to explore hobbies, common interests. However, it's very easy, like finds like. When you find someone who's like you, it's a lot easier to build that relationship faster. And so to kind of bring that all together, what I found running my own business is you need to be your unapologetic self. Easier said than done. Because as you said, Simon, it gets exhausting. It gets exhausting when you are putting on a front, because someone is always watching. And if you want to be, you know, Mr. Positive, as you probably know, Craig, that's what people expect from you. They expect you to always be positive and happy. And God forbid, if one day you're feeling down, and if you share that, well, whoa, you can't share that. You're Mr. Positive. You know what? There's power in showing that insecurity, and there's power in showing vulnerability. And I'm sure you already know that. I'm speaking to the choir. So that was my two cents from you, Simon.
So that's the interesting part from what you said. So basically, he finished off with, to be successful, you need to be yourself. Otherwise, people will see through it. So that was the finishing line too. He had the questions about culture and what does it look like and how do I need to act. So he started with, consciously, you know, you have to change yourself for the work environment. But then he gets into the point, well, what does it look like for me to be myself in success? And then he gets to the last part to say, well, actually, in the end of the day, so to be successful in yourself, you need to be able to be yourself. And that's the thing, because then we have to get to the point of, well, what is success? Is it just what, fitting into the office, getting your money and then leaving? Is that success? Or actually, is success just living the life that you were supposed to live in your way, and being on the project apologetically yourself? And like the way Simon even broke down his version of being black in a company, where he said, actually, you have to change yourself for a company to fit into the environment, similar to you and your clients. Then he said, actually, what does it look like if I didn't change that? What would office culture be like? What would I like to see? Because he mentioned those things. Because I don't mind having some jerk chicken and rice and peas for lunch in my workplace, you know? And then at the same time, he got to the point where actually, at the end of the day, I need to be true to myself. Because otherwise, it's going to be too much for me to handle and too much for me to uphold. So it's very interesting what I would think of other people see that. And I think that's probably why me, and maybe even you as well, Jordan, have taken the route of being our own business owners or being our own brand. because then you make the rules, you make the choices, and you, your success is what you've done that is fulfilling to you. Once you can cover the bills, you no longer have to take rules and sit and fit yourself in someone's environment and close yourself off.
Yeah.
You don't have to do that anymore.
It's all about leverage. Yeah, at the beginning, you do have to conform. You do have to fit in to set rules and regulations. And anyone who says, oh, no, I'm just going to be myself, you're not going to last long. And there are times where you do have to wear the suit. You know, and anyone who is familiar with Gary Vaynerchuk, Gary V, you know, he is the epitome of having leverage, where he now can wear his t-shirts, he can swear, because people want him so much and he's achieved so much that they don't want him unless he is being his unapologetic self. And one thing I've really felt at ease with, because there are times where I've been kind of at a crossroads, like, oh man, what if I do just button up a little bit more? Is at the end of the day, if it isn't fun, I don't want to do it.
Why do you feel that there is a need that we have to suppress who we are in order to then be successful? Because at the end of the day, we can still have a commonality with someone, but why does that relationship have to then stop us from being our true selves in its entirety? Is it a case of being ourselves entirely is going to be a hindrance on that relationship? And why would that be? That's the question I ask myself as a black person. I've got a relationship with you as a businessman. We're doing business together, but why would it be a problem that I have an afro or I have dreadlocks or I don't know, I listen to reggae music or I like to eat jerk chicken? Like, what? I shouldn't have to suppress that in order to have that relationship with you as a co-worker, as a businessman. And again, it's just a question I have to ask myself. And I guess I'm asking you guys as well, is do you feel that you have to do that? Is that something that we really have to do? Or do you do it?
For me to answer that, I would say social pressure. Social pressure and the way that we've learnt about ourselves and society in through society is what is causing us to suppress it, even subconsciously. Even watching our parents when they grew up and how they kind of adapted into the world, they subconsciously pass that down to us. And then maybe they think, well, actually, you do have to kind of change the way you look. Or maybe you got to, like, the first things I learned when I was working was I had to change my email address to be a bit more accepted by the
what CV. Was it before? Come on.
Funny enough, mine was Rivian Black Guy. So that was just like...
I don't know if we're on par, because my old one, which still exists for spam, is Jigaboo.
Wow.
Because Jigga, wow. That's Jay-Z's stage name.
Yeah.
Oh, it's Jigaboo at gmail.com. Jeez. Hit me up.
Both of us weren't getting jobs in the society.
Jigaboo.
But mine literally was Rivian Black Guy. My mum, first thing she said, you got to put your name. You can't put that. I said, but why? She said, you just can't. Put it on a suit. Put it on the way you speak to people. My mum speaks to clients very differently as well compared to how she speaks to family. So you subconsciously have learned these things. And it's understandable. My grandparents, when they first came here, were the, what they class it as, the people that came from Windrush generation. Mm-hmm. So they were, and it was a time of segregation, especially in the UK. So for people that listen, this is from the UK. This is times of segregation, people sitting behind the back of the bus, etc. So they passed on what they know about being in the society and just having to conform, especially while their country, St. Lucia, was a third world country. So the best opportunities to make money was in the UK and other places like that. And then my parents are the first generation West Indians, which is the first generation to be born in the UK itself. And they also get passed on. They learn to be a bit more of themselves, but they still have to conform where people are still leaking off of the whole segregation thing from the generation before. And now we're in a generation where we are second generation Caribbeans. Well, we are literally a case where our parents who have been born here, are born from that. We don't know all of that stuff back behind us. However, our parents do. And they pass that on to us. And the world still kind of does it as well. So this is what causes us to make us think we have to kind of put ourselves in that way. In addition, in this country, you couldn't necessarily say that actually a lot of black people own businesses. So even though the people, the kind of population itself has changed, the business owners and the people that the the business owners haven't changed. The same people still own the businesses, so the office culture still carries on. And then when we look at, we use comparison, what is a successful business? We'll look at that business and we'll look at ourselves and we'll be like, well, we're not succeeding. So maybe we need to, it's like copy. It's like a copy. And you think when you copy them, then you'll make it. And now things are really shifting. In these last few years, things are really shifting with black people saying, you know what, actually, I think I could just be myself and I will find success in the same way. And now we're really pushing for people. There's a lot more entrepreneurs, a lot more business owners, a lot of people that are influencers who don't need permission. They don't need the gatekeepers. What we perceive the gatekeepers, we are our own gatekeepers. So that's what I believe has caused such a shift on my part. What about you, Jordan?
For myself, I would say I'm kind of the polar opposite, where I found myself wanting to be, because if you couldn't tell, I'm mixed race, that I would be my white part, right? In the sense that so often, and I think all of us can relate in here, when you are able to articulate yourself as an ethnic minority, we've all heard the term, oh, you speak quite white, right? Mm. And if you haven't heard of it, let me break it down. Long story short, if you are able to articulate yourself, you're able to speak poshly. In that case, you sound like a white person. Right. And so for myself, I love education. You know, I love reading. I love learning. And so what is it? You know, blackness. You know, it's the idea that we're loud, we're brash. You know, these kind of connotations that are attached to the black body. So for myself, it was a case of, well, no one's going to pick on me because can't really pick on someone like myself because I can break you down intellectually, at least where I came from, right? I didn't grow up around other black people, so I didn't have that pressure of being excluded, you know. And then as I've managed to, I guess, embrace both parts of my heritage, you know, I'm, I guess, educated in both fields, that I found myself wanting to be, oh man, I don't want to speak like a gangster, which I did as a youngster. Because I felt like I had to fit in this box. So I came from London, moved to Norfolk, came from being the lightest kid in my school, being the darkest kid in my county. Found myself like, oh, torn. That every word that comes out my mouth has to be a slang word when I was in London. Right? Because I didn't feel like I met the stereotype, which is ironic because we're talking about moving away from the stereotype. Mm. But as a youngster, I tried to move closer towards it. And as I became more comfortable with my authentic self, as I realized, well, actually, why can't I change the narrative? You know. And so for me, that's what I found was finding acceptance within myself to embrace mm-hmm. not having to fit into the stereotype as opposed to dulling it down. Because now you see I've got my Nigerian flag in the back, got my African kingdom behind me over there. I can do both. And I think anyone can.
Jordan, if you get your phone out, we'll play your voice note, have a listen, and then we'll jump back into the conversation, man.
You know, when I was growing up, I realized I stood out. And I knew I wouldn't stand up for the right reasons. And so, now that I'm in the space I am, memory and speed reading coach, no one looks like me. There's no 23-year-old mixed-race British lad teaching speed reading memory training to 60-year-old white corporate partners at Deloitte. Now, what I found when I started was, even as a youngster, people would often say, oh, wow, you speak white. And what they meant by that was I was able to articulate myself. And what's interesting is we attach, I guess, a racial stereotype to certain attributes, e.g. the ability to articulate yourself is a white trait. And as much as that infuriated me, I played to that. I played up to that. And when I'd attend events where I was speaking at and say I'd be grabbing a coffee, a lot of times people thought I was working at the event. Naturally so, because people do judge a book by its cover. And it always shocked him, and I always felt a little smug, you know, I'm petty when I'd get up on stage as the keynote speaker, and they didn't know that. And so what I've now learned and accepted is people judge a book by its cover. And the reason why I win in my industry is because I am different. What makes you different makes you win, makes you win, makes you win, makes you win.
Has there ever been a situation, because I'm assuming maybe you've done work before, is business, is you as a business owner, is this your first job, or have you worked in any other field where you thought to yourself, okay, I have to present myself in a certain way where I can't be as black as I've acted in the past? Because when we've talked about, yeah, I wanted to be this person and I wanted to do the slang at one point and I wanted to identify myself as this, did you find that was a hindrance for you in any way when it came into work, for example?
You know what's funny is my most recent client who I do some consultancy work with, I was like, okay, there's some office rules. I legit, because I was like, I've never really come into an office and helped that team, right? And he's like, I just want you to be Jordan Harry. What I see on Instagram, I want you to do that here. I just come in, film, act a fool. I was like, wow, okay, cool. And so I've been blessed that growing up in a little village in Norfolk, my first job was as a paper boy. I could be as black as I want, rapping T.I.'s new album. Then working as a waiter in the local pub where, once again, of course I stand out. Once again, being in a village full of white people. So, you know, I already know what they think. And so there's moments where, and this is actually quite an interesting caveat, driving around almost every day, I'm cautious of, I know, of course, I like my music loud. Right? And I know the stereotype. And I also know the area I live in. Right? And so it's contextual. And so there were moments where, working as a waiter or whatever, yeah, there's moments where I'm like, ah, man, they're not going to get this. They're not going to get this joke. I feel like it's just social interaction, full stop. And so that was probably my last ever official job. Since then, I've done kind of freelance work here and there, where it's all been my personality has got me into that role. So I've been fortunate enough where I've been allowed to explore who is Jordan Harry, which is changing every day. Because the only reason we all know who we are, because we wake up with a memory of who we were yesterday. Right? So the idea of identity, of self, of individuality, arguably doesn't exist. Only reason why, Simon, you know to act a certain type of way, because you wake up in the morning, somehow after being unconscious for 8 hours, thank God you've woken up, and you remember a certain amount of your life. That then dictates how you approach the day moving forward. And so for myself, that's how I take it. Is okay, what context am I in? Do I need to turn my music down a little bit? Because I wouldn't say it's a black or white thing. I would say, arguably, it's a contextual thing. It's manners. It's not, no, I'm going to be my unapologetic black self. It's actually having a little bit of respect for the people around you who might not want to listen to loud music, especially aren't familiar with some of the lyrics. Right? And I understand that. So in work, I can't quite relate. Mm. But in terms of social environment, yeah, there's been times where, like any self-respecting individual, would read the situation, but this isn't the right time.
Mm. It's a statement, a life statement in itself, as to how people can kind of approach being successful in life. Because again, if we went back to the original question, what is success? If you can just be mindful of everything that you do, then you will know if you're going in the right direction. Is this right for you? Actually, I don't feel like I'm a gangster or I'm hood or anything like that. Maybe I don't want to wear, maybe I like wearing suits actually, and it doesn't make me less black or not. That's just what I like to do. So you just need to be mindful of yourself. On the basis of that, I do want to ask these both of you a question, though. Can you think of a time in your workplace where you know that there was a time that you had to suppress yourself? You either couldn't say anything, or because you didn't think they were going to understand it, or you just had to suppress your blackness, in the sense you could call it.
I would say no, but the only reason I say no is because, again, when you're talking about blackness, it's subjective as well. Everyone has their own definition of what blackness is, for one. And then when I say, have I suppressed my blackness because I define it in my own way, I'm going to say no, whereas someone else may see it and be like, yeah, well, you have. As you said, you're a sellout. You've done this. But in my experience, from the only time I've really suppressed myself is when I'm trying to reflect myself in the best possible light as a professional. And that's what I said in my voice note. It's about me. You know the people that you're talking to, you know the environment you're in, and you know how to present yourself. So it's not a case of saying, well, I'm presenting myself as a black man or not. It's I'm just presenting myself as the expert, as a professional, as someone that you can trust. So it's not to say that I'm going to cut my hair because I've got dreadlocks, I've got to cut my hair now. But it's like, well, I'm going to speak to you in a certain way. Just like Jordan said, I'm going to articulate my words in a certain way. I'm going to present myself. So by me doing that, when I'm speaking to, say, for example, the CEO in my company or my manager, I'm not suppressing my blackness. I'm just making sure that I reflect myself in the best possible way so we can have a very clear-cut conversation. That's how I see it.
Again, I'm going to be that annoying guest who's like, I can't answer. I'm going to have to go with the other side, which is I've had, and this is going to sound so conscientious, where, once again, using convoluted words, where I have to make sure that I'm not, and that sounds weird, where I almost have to suppress my geekiness, right? Where I always say I'm a geek by accident. Right? And, you know, I never thought I'd be speaking and reading what I do and having meetings the way I do. Mm. Because, once again, I have two sides, you know. I'm happy to go on the record, you know, the stereotype of, you know, my girlfriend's Latina, you know, I do love women. I love Latinas. That was like my dream woman, you know, and thank God I worked my ass off and now I can't escape. Now I'm in prison.
Well done.
You know, thank you, sir. But the idea is, you know, I lived up to all these stereotypes. You know, I love women, you know, I love partying, but I also love to have these high intellectual conversations that I find I can only have with a few individuals. People would often look at me and think, yo, he's going to be a blast. He's going to be relaxed in a work environment, especially. And then they're like, and I'm having to be like, oh man, I really don't want to even be talking about this. I want to talk about, you know, what is the meaning of life?
Mm.
So I was on the opposite side where people expected me to give them, you know, the knuckle bump. People expected me the amount of times to be like, oh, did you see Usain Bolt run last night? You know, they'll bring up any black related incident. And I'd be like, no, I was watching Jordan Peterson on YouTube. You know? And if you don't know Jordan Peterson, he's a lecturer, he's a psychologist. So, you know, I found myself so many times having to suppress, my authentic self. And the only reason I nurse my authentic self, I guess it's kind of like a tidbit for anyone listening, is try to live one day as if someone is watching you 24/7. Try and live one day like someone is watching you every second, the whole day. Now, I'm not saying that you'll improve your life massively if you act like that. However, there's this lighthouse effect that we can see the light hit us, but we can't see who's shining the light. And we all change differently when, you know, we know someone's watching. So for myself, yeah, I'm yet to suppress my blackness. If anything, I need to live up to a little bit more by the sounds of things.
I like that. And I resonate with, it's funny, I resonate with both sides of you as well, because the side of it is that you do have a kind of, your priority is to present yourself the best, especially because I'm actually a web developer. So I'm in a similar creative industry where you have to be able to articulate yourself and explain the things that are seen as a black box to everybody. And for people to understand, so you have to be able to speak in the right way that people can absorb it. Otherwise, if you create a culture barrier in front of the thing that you're explaining, which is already a black box, you're just going to make it really difficult, and you can't sell it to your client or whoever it is that you're trying to speak to. In addition, now the interesting part of what you said, like what resonated, was the conversations you have with your colleagues is different. So I just came from a job myself where, well, all the jobs I've had, they've always had this pub culture and like this drinking culture and sports and other things. And then they talk about work and the money that you're going to get paid. And I'm just like, how long do you think you're going to do this for? Like, do you see yourself doing anything better than this? Does this job actually fulfilling to you? You've said that you've had to maybe switch the way you talk to people and maybe not ask those questions because of the people that they are. But actually, I've just been like, I'm going to ask it anyway because I need some entertainment and I need to have someone that's going to stimulate me. So I need to, I can't.
Oh,
I can't,
what you meant? You went through the world burn, as in you want to break their brain and be like, so tell me, how is your relationship back home? And they're like, can't compute.
And that's the thing. I've tested those conversations. Some colleagues that they will take and be like, you know what, I haven't thought about that, but you know what, here's my input. And then some people you say it to and they're like, no, I don't really think about that. So what about that football? And I just have to walk away. When they ask, oh, do you want to go to the pub? I say, no, I'm not. I'm good. I'm going to go home. He's like, oh, you're always turning it down. He's like, yeah. And then today, I'm still going to keep turning it down. Nothing's changed. So I like this conversation is, yeah, again, it's just being very mindful and realizing what actions have I taken and why has it brought us to where we are today? Because we're on this podcast. We are the people we are today because of these small decisions. As you said, you take day by day. And when you do all of these, it's a compound effect. Every single small decision you make, it acts as if you've been watched, it amounts to something really, really large. How many decisions are you making per day that you are not being yourself, and what would that compound to in the future?
Nice. Mm-hmm. All right, question time. Let's go, let me pull one up. So in my workplace, this is from one of our listeners, in my workplace I've often felt it's difficult to progress, especially when my manager or co-workers are black, because they seem to make me work twice as hard. Now, why do you think, this is the question, why do you think that black people feel the need to have to compete in the workplace, and have you ever experienced that?
Every day. I know, like I said, people judge a book by its cover. I use it as fuel that as much as being of color can go against us, I shift that. And I think it actually goes for us. The fact that other black people in a decision-making role are more likely to reach out to me than the 40, 50-year-old white dude or Jim Quick who's hanging out with celebrities and, you know, is of my age and has got his PhD. It's actually, I like this dude who is just a joker on his IG who replies to me ASAP Rocky, who admits when he's got stuff wrong. Because that's it. And that's what you need. I don't know the listener, of course. But you need to get out of your head that this is working against me. And actually see, we actually have positive discrimination. And I would argue we, you know, as a black community, and I see it from both ends, white people have no loyalty to their own. I'm going to be the first to say that. Real talk, you don't believe me? If us three saw a fight on the street right now, there's a black person, white person, we don't know what's happened, whose side we take him? Arguably, we have a sense of community. Now, that community has come, of course, through hardship, but we should be proud of that community. And so that's what I believe is, yes, we have to work harder, but I promise you, whoever's listening, we all want to help each other. We all want to lift each other. I'm on this platform, arguably, because I am of color. There's positive discrimination. We need to stop looking at negative discrimination. We actually need to look at all the doors that do open for us. Because of the color of our skin.
It's interesting because the whole work harder thing is something that we seem to cry about a lot. And you know what? Some people actually do seem to live it as well, where they have actually had studies where, or they've done tests where literally people are placed in the same position with the same qualifications, send the same CV off, and they still don't get accepted. And you're like, well, just because I'm of a different color. And so there is a level of you having to work a little bit harder and be accepted in a sense. And there is a level of this competition you have because you've been able to, because you've recognized that actually there is a privilege on the, for other people, that you're realizing, okay, so when you do get into the environment, you now seem to have a level of aggression to you, like a fight inside of you. And you can't just get rid of it because actually you had to do a lot to get it in the first place. So I really do understand why they've said that. But even for me, I never, the way my parents brought me up, it was never about the people in my school. So when our school was 95% black people in a sense. And every time I used to fail a test or an exam, they were always saying, actually, I was always like, oh, but the rest of my class failed. They said, but you're not the rest of your class. you're nobody else. And my class was all black people. So it's not to say it was like because it was white people or nothing. It's like, you're not the rest of your class. And that stuck in my head. It was over and over and over and over. So when I got into the world, the real world and society, it was like, regardless of if this person is a manager and has 10 years behind him, regardless if he's a white person, regardless if this person runs a company, if somebody is doing it in this world and they're human beings, you can do it too, regardless of everything. And need it be, and if you work hard and this person rejects you and this person rejects you, you're going to find the person that will accept you and will know who you are. And that's where you want to be. Mm. You don't want to be in the environment where you're not accepted and you had to work twice as hard. You want to be in the environment where you are accepted and you didn't have to work twice as hard. You just had to be accepted for what exactly you did. And that's all that matters. So it's a case where you believe in yourself and you don't give up on yourself to believe that everyone's against you. As you said, there's positive discrimination where actually we're going to discriminate on you because you are really good at what you do. So we're going to discriminate and say, you deserve this. Mm. No, I don't care about your color. Actually, you did this. So actually, yeah, we may have maybe a lot of blocked doors and maybe more blocked doors than other people. However, when you deserve it from the right people, then that's where you need to be. Because it's better for you to be in an environment where you can be yourself than it is to be in an environment where you can't be yourself at all. 100%. Otherwise, you would lose yourself trying to be in there.
Mm. Do we as black men share enough in terms of succeeding in the workplace, or do we focus on our own advancements? And why do you think that is?
For us, and I say us because it's black men, I think it comes back to that point where we work goddamn hard for it. And we see it all in the rap videos. You know, this culture is, of course, emulated across every medium. You know, we work hard and we want people to see that we have worked hard. Now, you arguably do see a lot of these rappers, and we'll just use them as a context, male rappers again, show that they brought their boys up. If anything, now it's a big brag. That you say, hey, look, I brought my family up with me. I brought my boys up with me. They all got rollies, right? So I arguably would say there's an overcompensation for black men. Even myself, I'm guilty of it. My business partner, he's also mixed race. He's also my boy. Everyone in my team are friends of mine, you know, so they're all qualified at their job. But I'd rather hire them than someone I don't know. I'd rather create my own ecosystem and keep my people rich and healthy, happy, as opposed to paying someone else. Now, I'm very, what would be the word? I'm very rash in showing people. We potentially overcompensate showing that we are helping everyone else around us. That if we are winning, it looks bad on us that we're winning and no one else is winning, because it's that stereotype of you've left people behind.
I believe it is actually generational. I believe our previous generation was actually in a case where black people weren't thriving with each other. They weren't pushing each other, actually. They were just trying to get out of the hood. They were trying to leave the hood. So, and obviously, if you was in certain places, which actually did have a lot of crime in the UK, such as we know a few places in London, which is like Hackney, Brixton, they call it gentrification, where people actually was able to stay in the hood and buy their properties, they never did, and they left instead without their people. But because a lot of black people were always saying that the society was putting them they were putting against each other. So they actually made us think that we did have to fight each other to get out of it. However, the new generation doesn't have the same thing. With social media being so connected, you're realizing actually we are all bringing each other up, and we actually can support each other from a distance now. Mm. And that's what's changing the game. Accepting yourself and who you want to be will then kind of branch off and leak into other people, from your children, your friends, your colleagues, your family members, and even the people you employ and what business you create. What stamp are you putting into what? What kind of thing are you standing for? But who you stand for is being yourself, because being yourself is actually, as you started the whole podcast, being yourself is your superpower, basically. But for everybody else, they don't see that. Being like somebody else is their superpower, because that's how a lot of the previous generations used to think. But actually, when we realize and when we come into stuff like fulfillment and not what success looks like, but what real success feels like inside of you, you start to realize actually, as Simon goes back, we connecting all the dots. As Simon says,
about to bring it back for you people.
To be successful, you need to be yourself. Otherwise, people will see through it.
Mm.
Beautiful. Craig, do you want to jump onto the last question?
Oh, sorry. The question, I just copied and pasted the person's English. How can I not be labeled as a sellout, basically?
How can you not be perceived as a sellout? Well, to be fair, that's not your choice. It's down to them. They're the one that's going to take that perception and say that you are a sellout. So I think that you can only do what you can do for yourself and be the best that you can be. Because at the end of the day, no matter what you do, someone may always consider you to be a sellout. So that's all based on perception. So the way I would see that question is, how do I not be perceived as a sellout? I don't think that's even possible, because that's down to your thoughts. That's not down to mine. I can't have any control over that. So that's my quick answer to that, is that, well, I can only be who I can be. And if I don't consider myself a sellout, then who are you to tell me that I am? That's your perception, that's your thought, and that's something that you have to live with. But I don't have to live with that. I don't have to live with being a sellout. That's your opinion, that's not mine. So that's my quick answer. I don't know, Jordan.
Without knowing, listeners, it's very difficult, of course, to understand where this question stems from. Arguably, not just the person who asked the question, anyone who's listening, even ourselves, if you think you're selling out, I guess the brash way to put it, that sounds like a you problem. And let me now butter it. It sounds like there's some sort of insecurity going on within your own psyche, where you believe that certain actions you're doing is, oh man, I'm doing it for the culture. Oh man, I'm wearing the African pendant, which I actually lost mine annoyingly. My African pendant, right? Because that's what I should do, and I'll be accepted by others. And actually, maybe I'm doing it too much. That is, I would only imagine, that's the thought process of someone who questions if they're selling out. Mm. There's a lot of underlining issues there, which you need to address. Mm. You need to address, because it sounds like you're not comfortable in what you're doing. And if you have to question, and I always say this, I love this, if I ever do something, I'm like, oh, would my mum mind if I did this? Then I shouldn't do it. And I think that's my short answer. If you think you're selling out, you are. And you should stop doing what you're doing. But that's on you.
Mm.
And I don't believe you can impose that upon anyone else.
Yeah, so obviously, thank you very much for sending in those questions, guys. I know we probably didn't get to all of the questions that were sent in, but we will try our best to address these on our socials as well. Craig, I don't know if you want to start first. What would be your food for thought?
He was thinking. Because I'm thinking, if you go first, you're going to take what I want to say. And
go for it.
I'm going to say that being yourself is your superpower. That is the most fulfilling life that you will ever live, is when you can learn to be yourself. And that's the best thing you can do for yourself and the rest of the world, is be you, because that's who you was made to be.
I would say that if you aren't looking to improve yourself every single day, then you need to stop what you're doing and be present, because I generally believe, from the readings and the people that I've met, have achieved things that I can only dream of having, the fact that they've reached that level, if you want to reach that level, of course, they're constantly looking at understanding themselves better and understanding how can they be better for other people. And it only comes from consistent and, more precisely, effective input each and every single day. So enjoy the process, because we spend most of our time there.
Beautiful. Beautiful, man. Jeez, how do I finish with that? Come on. You lot,
I don't know.
Me, man.
Let me wrap this up. Forget everyone. Thank you for joining us.
No, I mean, I can only reiterate what you guys have already said, to be fair. Like, you've said it perfectly already. I think, again, it's about authenticity and being yourself. And again, what we established from that question that we spoke about at the end is that you're not thinking about other people's perception. Think about being true to yourself. And then again, when we're looking at being successful, I believe that you can only be successful by being your true self anyway. So 100% to all our listeners, and what I'll take away from that is, just be yourself and success will come. For you guys listening, this platform isn't just about us talking to you. It's about you guys getting involved, obviously asking questions and continuing the conversation. So make sure you guys open up to us about your views and your experiences. If you've enjoyed the podcast, please like, share to promote great health and well-being. obviously we can't get better if we don't encourage each other to talk about what's on our mind. So remember to follow us, stay up to date with all our new content and our live events, because we do live events on Instagram as well. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you, Jordan. Thank you, Craig. It was a wonderful conversation. And thank you guys. We'll see you guys soon.